No potato juice, cause those planters down in Santos all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, drinking coffee with a cruller. Dunking doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee, awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Take me just so far. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Don't leave me like this, dangling from a star. You set me all aflame, and it's so pleasing. Sure would be a shame if you were only teasing. So my love, before I go, turn the lights way down low and talk to me, talk to me. talk to me. Your magical kiss can take me just so far. Like this, dangling from a star, you set me all aflame, and it's so pleasing. It sure would be a shame if you were only teasing. So, my love, before I go, turn the lights way down low and talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
I'd like to call to order the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting. Please join me in standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Lopez, would you like to do the roll call?
Yes, thank you. Commissioner Rojas?
Here.
Commissioner Dullowan? Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner West?
Here.
Vice Chair Richards?
Here.
Chair Barsky?
Here. Do we have any speaker request forms for tonight?
We do not have any.
Okay. Let's move on to our first presentation.
Okay, and that is item A1, Community Resource Deputy Introduction.
Madam Chair and members of the Parks Commission, I'd like to introduce and have our Community Resource Deputy, Senior Deputy, Dave Valadez. I'll get it right. And we wanted to have an opportunity to introduce our Community Resource Deputy, too, because he replaced Community Resource Deputy Greg Sorensen, who went to patrol. And you'll recall last year when we were doing a number of the tours, we had an opportunity to see Deputy Sorensen out in the field. And now you will hear from Dave now on all the things he'll be doing in his new role, and wanted to have an opportunity for the Commission to meet our new Community Resource Deputy and have you ask any questions you might have of him as he assumes his new job here at the City. And we're really happy to have him. And, in fact, he'll be doing some of the training that some of you, I hope all of you, will be attending tomorrow. So with that, Dave.
Thank you. And I'm really happy to be here and to be fulfilling Senior Deputy Greg Sorensen's shoes here. Well, I'm the new Community Resource Deputy, and I wear many hats, and my job is to give my all in each one of those positions. So some of the things I do are, of course, I have office hours there at the Marketplace substation and also an Old Town substation there. I spend time there and allow people to walk in, and I get all kinds of people who just have questions about law enforcement, questions about city government even, and, of course, people that want to file reports, and I do investigations out of those two substations. So, most of my time, because of the way things have been working out, I have been recently more time at Marketplace, but I'm starting to move things over to Old Town, and I think the community members there are starting to realize, there's a deputy there, and I can just walk over there rather than call 911 and get someone out to my house. So it's been quite pleasing. I've met a lot of people from Old Town by just doing that, having that door open, which I think a lot of people have seen that door closed for a while, but now it's open, and they're learning, and they're starting to spread the word. So I expect to see more people meet me out there at Old Town. Another thing I do is, as the community resource deputy, as I do all kinds of business and school presentations. So we have school resource deputies, but I'm kind of more geared towards the elementary school. So I've done things like Dr. Seuss Day. I'll do read-alongs on Dr. Seuss Day, which we did a couple weeks ago at Elwood School. And another thing I did was attend business grand openings where they want some kind of, to make their business more a part of the community. So they have some kind of community outreach program. So recently I was at the Santa Barbara Krav Maga School there in Old Town, and they were kind enough to associate their grand opening with all the sacrifice that public service personnel do for both fire and military and law enforcement. So we were there at that to help support them and to give them thanks for that. I also have some major programs that I run as the community resource deputy. One of them is the Neighborhood Watch Program. And I'm really excited about this program because we're taking it into a new direction. In the past, the Neighborhood Watch Program has mainly been centered around a kind of organization, in theory at least, of a captain and a group of community members from a neighborhood. And then they meet with the community resource deputy or the liaison from the whatever law enforcement agency it happens to be with. But we've found, myself and previous community resource deputies, that we're not meeting all the needs of all the parties involved. You know, when we speak about partnership between community members and law enforcement, we have a certain idea in mind when we do that, and we're finding we're not quite doing that. We need to have more things than just this occasional meeting. So maybe a month ago, if I remember correctly, we had a meeting where we reassessed everything, and we're looking now to try and merge the Neighborhood Watch Program with the city's Next Door program and use social media as a way to have regular, you know, almost speed of life communication between law enforcement, community members, and even therefore, you know, the city government itself. So we're launching a pilot program. It's right in the making. Everything is right now in the making. And we're going to try it out in the next door area designated as Fairview Kellogg area. So we have some community members that are willing to donate their time and effort towards this pilot program. And I think it's going to be, you know, we're calling it unofficially Neighborhood Watch 2.0. Mm-hmm. So I think as Goleta, the city of Goleta has led the way in many kinds of endeavors, I think this too will be the tip of the spear for Neighborhood Watch programs. And we could eventually see, you know, other municipalities, other counties even trying to get this going. But it'll start here in Goleta with Neighborhood Watch 2.0. So I'm very excited about that, and I'll update you as we go along with it. Then I have some patrol functions that I do as well. So I do patrol Old Town. I do patrol the parks and the bluffs, Elwood Bluffs as well. And I keep an eye on, you know, what's going on there, such as graffiti, if there's campers there illegally camping, and just vandalism, and also making contact with the citizens that are out there, you know, jogging or walking their dogs. They, you know, they're very friendly, and they seem very happy to see a law enforcement officer come by and say hi and, you know, shake hands and let them know we're here and this is not as isolated as it might appear. So everyone's been very positive when they see me out there. And I expect to do more of that as time goes on. as we get these other projects in place. So we do that kind of stuff. And as was mentioned already, tomorrow we're doing the security briefing and training, which I'm going to look forward to seeing you all there, and I think you will all enjoy it and find it very helpful as well. And if you have any questions that I can answer directly, please.
One's silly and the other one's more serious. So you'll be on the bike?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So that was fun to witness that when we took the tour. And then the second question is, do they still teach the DARE program in the Goleta schools?
I do not believe they do, or it's not handled in any kind of official way through the Sheriff's Department. Okay. There might be a volunteer that is still doing it, but to the best of my knowledge, which I'm going to say is limited right now, I'm not aware that it's actually being taught.
Did the Sheriff's Department lose dollars for that?
It might be handled at a volunteer level.
Okay.
Many programs in the Sheriff's Department are handled at a volunteer level. I just don't have that information.
Sure. Thank
Sorry.
You.
I can find out and get it right
okay.
to you.
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
Commissioner
Please.
Hart?
Thank you for that introduction.
Thank you.
Your very welcoming face, I'm sure, is a good presentation to the public from your department, so I really enjoy that
Thank
aspect
you.
Of your personality. I was just curious, from the parks perspective, mm-hmm. you're out there. Has there been any kind of common comment about the parks or concern about security in the parks?
And you know, usually it's kind of offhand, like, oh, it's nice to see you out here, that kind of thing. But I have not been stopped where somebody will go, oh, this happened to me last time, or I want to report this. It's more people are pleased to see law enforcement, you know, making the rounds and that kind of thing. Occasionally in the office, I do get calls about illegal campers, but they're not in the parks at this point. You know, they tend to be in other areas. So usually when I run into someone, it's more offhand. Oh, nice to see someone out here, that kind of thing. Thank you.
I think you made reference to some of the issues that you encounter in the parks. Can you just elaborate a little bit more, or maybe talk a little bit about how often do you cite people, or have you had to, and what are the main issues?
Graffiti is probably the more common one, and we have a civilian contact that I am in constant communication with weekly. We meet or talk, you know, either on the phone, we have lunch. But probably, I would say up to two times a week, I'm giving him information of where there is graffiti at this park. Or so, for example, one of the first patrol shifts I did at Elwood Bluffs, there's some manholes out there, and they were all covered in graffiti. So I used my phone and GPS, and I relay the coordinates and send the picture to the graffiti abatement personnel, and they go take care of it.
I know there's been incidents of people bringing couches out there, maybe to the beach. Has that happened, or does that happen often?
It can happen. I have not seen it lately. The place where I saw a couch is actually not within the city jurisdiction. It's on university property. So I haven't seen the couches out by the bluffs or the beach lately.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Richards, also, we're sometimes amazed at how these pieces and articles of furniture make it out on the bluffs. And in fact, our crews from Public Works and Parks, the Public Works Community Services team, sometimes get complaints and assist in the removal of these items so that they're not an invitation for further activity that could be a problem. But it is something that we're constantly responding to and dealing with out on the bus.
Yes. Yeah, so I work closely with code enforcement, so I'll get a call, they'll get a call, and we go out there, and it's pretty immediate response.
Do we have any other questions? Deputy, thank you for coming.
Okay.
We really enjoyed
thank
your
you very much
talk and meeting you, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again
Of course,
soon.
I hope so.
Thank you tomorrow, very much. Exactly.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, Ms. Frays.
Item A2, mm-hmm. and that's Elwood Trails and Habitat Restoration Design Project.
Good evening, Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. At a previous meeting, we had indicated that we would be bringing to you briefings or overviews of major projects within the city. One of those projects is the Elwood Mesa Sperling Preserve Trails and Habitat Restoration Project. The project manager for this is Ann Wells, our advanced planning manager, which you have met in the past. She was very excited about giving this briefing to you, but she's unavailable to be here tonight. So I'm pleased to present Rita Bright from AMEC Environmental Consultants. She has been working very closely with Ann, so she is an expert on this project, and she will be giving you a brief overview of this project. So I will hand it over to Rita.
Thank you, Luz. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Rita Bright, and I do work with AMEC downtown in Santa Barbara, and I'm very pleased to be here in Ann's place to provide you a briefing and an overview of where we are right now with this important project for the city of Goleta. And this is the Elwood Mesa Sperling Preserve Trails and Habitat Restoration Project. Just to provide you some background, the beginning or the origination of this area was in 2004 when the city of Goleta and Santa Barbara County and UCSB released the Elwood Devereaux Coast Open Space and Habitat Management Plan. This area encompasses approximately 652 acres, and there is extensive guidance in this plan on the management and public access and recreational activities of this natural resource. Of this entire area, 230 acres is city-owned and known as the Elwood Mesa Sperling Preserve. The area is also studied and analyzed and has its own specific policies in your open space element of your general plan as well. And what part of this project is intended to do is to implement those policies of your open space element. There was grant funding provided to allow for the engineering and design and permitting of improvements to this planning area, this open space planning area, and a memorandum of understanding was entered between the city and the Santa Barbara Trails Council. There were also public workshops that were very well attended in both September and December of 2012. And at that time, the staff of the city, as well as their team of consultants and engineers, listened to the public comments and proceeded with those comments, which really seemed quite aligned with a lot of the policy objectives of the open space element. And some of the key highlights that came out of those public workshops involved really keeping this beautiful open space preserve as natural a state as possible and making the improvements as organic, if you will, as possible. So some of those concepts that we heard from the public and we have incorporated into the project description is to keep the trails narrow and natural, oftentimes meandering a little bit more, not looking so linear in nature. Maintaining a natural tread was very important, using on-site earthen materials to do the improvements and not importing off-site materials. So if there is an existing berm, using that earth material to fill a pothole. Improving the accessibility, fixing the gullies and potholes, some of the erosion in the creeks and gullies and to the accesses, access point E and F, which I'll get into a little bit more. Preserving the existing known trails as well, not changing things up so much that it becomes confusing, but rather, you know, doing some natural grooming. And removing tall non-native weeds, including fennel and mustard, especially those that are along your primary view sheds looking over the bluffs, which currently in some places can block and obscure your nice public views. So, again, these design principles, I think this is a little bit in more detail of what we just went over, but in the design we have used an average width of 6 feet for the less frequented trails, an 8-foot width for some of the other trails that are more frequently used. But we don't keep that constant. We try to meander and we use as much as possible the existing path, studied that and tried to allow for some narrowing where necessary to respond to erosion issues. We don't want to include and haven't included any imported gravel, as I mentioned, and try to make borders soft unless there needed to be a border to keep people out of a sensitive habitat area such as a vernal pool. So the goal, again, was to complement the trails and not redesign them, to restore and improve habitat, to have the gully and creek crossings enhanced, to have them safely accessible, but not to be visually non-intrusive with a lot of human-altered improvements. And again, to really minimize change to the maximum extent feasible. So for these trails, the concepts are to groom the trails and control the erosion. Sometimes what that means is resloping the trails away so they don't go towards the bluff tops, but rather away from the bluff tops. In some areas, they can actually contribute. We've tried to look at where it can contribute to vernal pool enhancement. Also, for the gully and creek crossings, as I mentioned, make them safe and accessible in the most minimally invasive ways, to restore native plants in the area, and to improve beach access from the two key beach access points, which are known as Access E and Access F. And this gives you a little bit more of a highlight of this. These are the gully area where there is a lot of extensive erosion. Of course, this is Hollister Avenue, and this is the public parking. And here is the Devereaux Crossing as well. This is the coastal loop trail. This is actually where the Coastal Trail and the Leanza Trail, both run concurrently. And then here is the extension of the Leanza Trail as well to UCSB. One key point that came up in the public comments, as well as one of the city council members raised, was where is emergency access from this site? And that typically runs from Santa Barbara Shores into the site. So this is a visual simulation that attempts to display the concept of improvements. Here you have sort of the existing trail is located in this area, and here we want to demark the area that we want people to use a trail and not go off trail, and also allow for some meandering of that trail. Again, there are some areas that have some erosion or some potholes, and we would take bermed areas as close as possible and use some of that excess fill into replacement and improvement of the graded surface of the trail. And these trails are multi-use trails, the main trails, the Leanza and Coastal Trail. I guess this is just another example of the trails where we would seek improvement and use native soils on site. This is another simulation of removal of some of the invasive plants and weeds and some restoration that would be occurring in this area. And you're probably, a lot of you are familiar with this, one of these gullies as well, using these trails, but you will notice and experience the erosion that has occurred, and then the many options that recreationalists will use to get out and down from the top of this trail towards the ocean bluff. So one of the goals, again, is to define a trail alignment for the users and minimize the amount of erosion that would be occurring. and provide some backfill of the gully. So here you would have, we would have some fill material placed where there's currently all of this erosion. This is another sample of one of the other gully crossings that's north of Devereaux Creek. And again, we would be using a culvert bridge to allow for safe access and also allow for the continued conveyance of drainage during storm events as well, and to have that managed so erosion is controlled.
Clarification, that's a simulated photo, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, I didn't know if that was good. Photoshop is so good at
Yes. Some of the team on the Trails Council provided these photo sims and had a lot of fun with it, but just to clarify, this is what the proposed development would be with this gully crossing, and this would be subject, of course, to City Council approval of the permits, as well as Coastal Commission for the Coastal Development Permit. And here is the more expansive crossing, which would be the Devereaux Creek crossing. And here, what is proposed is a multi-use boardwalk to cross this. And this is, the intention is to, again, respond to the community's desire to minimize altered improvements. However, we need something that's going to last for a long time. And so this is an area where we would be proposing to use this type of boardwalk crossing. We've tried to eliminate some common concepts like the use of handrails or any types of more reflective type of surfaces and keep it a more natural tone. And these are the beach access design concepts, and this shows you the current oblique aerial photo of the beach access F, which is the access that was originally used for oil development along the shore. And this shows you the amount of erosion that has occurred over time and a photo simulation of the use of stepping down to the site to improve access and safety. Beach access E is, as I remember, it is east of F. And this was one that originated for primarily the residence access. It's been in existence for over 50 years, and it too suffers considerable erosion. The asphalt towards the shoreline has broken up in some areas and has some drop-offs as well. So the part of the project description includes removal of that asphalt, grading the surface, allowing for some retention of the beachfront to minimize erosion, also removing ice plant, improving accessibility, and allowing for some drainage and bioswales to improve the drainage in that area. And as mentioned, some of the concepts, again, is to eliminate to the maximum extent feasible the fennel and mustard and invasive weedy species, and allow, as well as the ice plant, and allow for more native species to flourish in this area. This is a slide that has already been indicated in this presentation. So where are we now? Well, today was the first day of the release of the environmental document that we helped the city prepare. In this case, it's what's called a mitigated negative declaration, and it has been drafted in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA. This is day one of the public comment period, and it's going to run for 30 days. It will end on April 24th at 5 p.m., so there is ample time at this point for you to also look on the website and review the environmental document. I checked to ensure it was posted. It's there today on your city website, and we will be having a public comment hearing in this very chamber on April 14th at 5 p.m. Again, the end of the public comment period is April 24th, 2014 at 5 p.m. Once we have the public comment period. We will make note of the comments that are pertinent to the environmental document. We'll respond to those comments and, per city direction, make revisions as necessary. This will then go on to the Planning Commission for review, and then it'll go to my understanding from Ann is it will also go to the City Council. This project is within the appeals jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission, and so it's it will go to the Coastal Commission for review of the Coastal Development Permit as well. And ultimately, once the approvals are received or obtained, barring any successful appeal, a land use permit would be issued and grading and other improvements can commence, restoration as well. That concludes my presentation. Again, I thank you for allowing me to provide you this briefing. If you have questions.
Okay, we have Commissioner West, and then.
I was wondering, is there any way that interested commissioners can have a tour, guided tour, somebody, you know, walk us through that area?
Commissioner West, through the chair, I think that's an excellent idea given your purview on this project. I can certainly relay that to Ann Wells. She'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent idea.
And Madam Chair, if I could.
Yes.
So tours of the subject area involving the commission would need to be coordinated with City Clerk's office. Because obviously if there is a quorum, we need to comply with the noticing requirements and ensure that there are no decisions or actions taken by the commission while on the tour. So we'll coordinate that if we get to that point with Ms. Wells when she returns, and certainly with Ms. Lopez, our city clerk.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Vice Commissioner Richards? Question.
Hi, yes. Thank you for the presentation. That was very informative. I have a question regarding how bicycles fit into the plan. I noticed that, you know, with the natural materials, you know, it doesn't sound like you're going to be paving any bicycle paths through there. But I did also notice that under the design concepts, you mentioned that trails should be multi-use. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and explain, you know, how bicycles are treated within this area.
Certainly. Through the chair, Commissioner Richards. Both of the primary trail corridors, the Coastal Trail as well as the Anza Trail, are multi-use trails. And currently, what's so great about this open space area is that you do see most of the time multi-use occurring. So bike usage will still be retained on site, as well as equestrian and pedestrian. If anything, it's going to be akin to an off-road trail still. It's going to be mainly earthen, but it should improve the accessibility of all users because of some hazards such as pothole removals. And the bridge as well, I think, might help if bicyclists use that in lieu of going off-road and creating more erosion. So I think for all users, there's going to be some degree of enhancement.
Commissioner Rojas.
Yes, I have a question. In terms of process, the mitigated negative declaration, which I haven't seen yet, so I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. What exactly are we looking at? Is it a programmatic application that says, generally, here's what we like to do, or does it have specifics about culvert crossings and pathways down to the beach? And my other question is probably more of a concern. I've heard often when this project's described that one of the goals is to provide accessibility. Now, accessibility and access are really two different descriptions. Improved access means removing hazards, making it safer and easier to get to. Accessibility, if we use the Americans with Disability Act, are specific standards of improvement. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us, are there any ADA standards plan for any of the project proposed?
Yes, through the chair, Commissioner Rojas. Your first question, the mitigated negative declaration is pretty specific, I would say. The intention of that is not to approve the MND and then approve the concept of the plan. It's to approve the plan, the site plan, the engineering drawings. So there's a lot of attachments that you'll see to the MND. I have a copy of it, and as MNDs go, it's pretty thick. It almost looks like a mini EIR. So there's a lot of graphics. To save costs for the city in terms of engineering designs, we've tried to keep it as reasonable as possible so we don't get into heavily engineered drawings for a public trail. And having worked on public trails, including the Franklin Trail, most recently opened in Carpinteria, these costs can become exorbitant to a public agency. So we've worked as a team, too, to try to reduce costs and find ways that satisfy code requirements but don't go overboard. And I would say the engineers have donated a lot of time, too, to try to make this as affordable as possible, given the public benefits. In terms of accessibility, I agree with you, and this has been an issue that was raised in the public workshops. We had some very compelling testimony from members, citizens, including those who were wheelchair-bound, who at least one, at least, who spoke of the need of enjoying this. And so we've tried to design it as much as possible to improve accessibility, but for it to be considered an ADA-designed project, I wouldn't state that it can go that far. We've tried to have elements that would get any member of the community of Goleta and the greater public access to the site. But where we get into the drainages and the gullies, it becomes extremely challenging. We have to be responsive to Coastal Commission policies that minimize, you know, seek to be maximize, rather, environmental resource protection, and yet recognize the other coastal-dependent priority use of recreation. So I think Ms. Wells has done a great job in trying to optimize those, but I don't want to have you walk away thinking this is an ADA-accessible master plan site.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions? Thank you, Ms. Bright, for presenting, and this is wonderful and helpful. Again, I'm sure we'll hear more about this as well in the coming, in the near future.
Okay, thank you, and we encourage your comments.
Thank you. Okay, so we move on to the consent calendar, item B1. That is approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes of January 22nd, 2014. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Rojas. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Approved?
I do have a correction.
Did I move too fast? I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, you just moved very fast.
I apologize. Yes.
Item B1. The motion was made by Chair Rojas and Vice Chair Barsky, not Chair Richards, as it says.
Thank you. Staff will make that correction.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Item C1, and that is recreation needs assessment.
Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, I'm happy to be here tonight to provide you an update on where we are with the recreation needs assessment. As a reminder, at the last meeting of the commission in January, staff discussed the budget request that was to come before the City Council for their consideration regarding the allocation of additional funds to support this project. At the City Council meeting of February 18th of this year, the City Council considered this request, which was for an additional $55,000 to support the project. And I'm very pleased to report that the City Council unanimously voted in support of that request. So the new allocation brings the total budget for this project to $75,000. With the approval of that additional allocation, staff immediately moved forward with updating the RFP and getting it ready to be released to the public so that there would be no delay in getting this project going. The RFP was released on Friday, March 21st, and it will close on April 21st. As you saw in your staff report, there were only minor edits made to the previous RFP RFQ. The main objectives of the scope of work remained unchanged. There was one additional consideration that was included, and that was regarding a request that came from the City Council at their March 4th meeting of this year, and that was to include consideration of a community garden as part of the rec needs assessment. So pursuant to council direction, staff included that consideration within the RFP, and we have asked the consultant to take that into consideration and include it as part of their analysis. We would definitely expect to see that topic explored, as, particularly through the community outreach aspect of that project. So as I mentioned, the RFP will be out for 30 days and will close on April 21st. Staff will evaluate submitted proposals and will invite top firms to an interview. The Parks and Recreation Commission will receive an update on this process at their May 28th meeting, and staff expects that at that meeting we will be coming to the commission with a recommendation for selection of a firm so that we can then move forward with awarding of a contract with the City Council. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take those at this time.
Doesn't look like we have any questions.
Yes. Madam Chair and members of the Commission, it's also a great opportunity to share with the Commission that this rec needs assessment work will be a very significant effort, not only with the community and the outreach, but really looking at this issue on a very broad basis in the community. And I know all of you are anxious to really roll up your sleeves and get involved in that process, and we're very grateful for the Council's support in the additional funding that allows us to move forward and to bring this item to you tonight as an update. And wanted to also thank Ms. Reyes-Martin for her excellent work in really expediting this process and moving it forward on a quick timeline so we can get this moving, because we've heard from the Commission your desire to really see this item come forward too. So we're pleased to be here tonight with this update.
I just wanted to say I'm very grateful for all of your hard work in pushing this through, and I appreciate that. And I'm also very pleased that the City Council agreed to give us the extra money that we needed for that, because I think that will go very far in giving us a really good idea of where we stand and where we need to go. So thank you.
I'm just curious, because I did note the timeline was fast for the bidders. Were there any concerns, I guess, rendered from them about that tight time frame?
Commissioner Hart and members of the commission, that is consistent with the timeline that we had the first go around. And I will let the commission know that we have already begun to get phone calls from interested firms. Many of the same ones that had initially called but had concerns about our tight budget the last time around. So they are very interested. They've kept in touch, and they've kept an eye on this process. So I'm confident that we will get some great submittals for this timeline.
Yeah, I was just concerned somebody might drop out. Yeah.
Commissioner Rojas?
Yes, I have to agree with everything that's been said and ask Ms. Reyes-Martin, if by chance, do you know the three sample surveys that you shared with the Commission, what price tags those carried? And I realize that those cities are much larger than ours, but I'm just kind of seeing what kind of bang for the buck we might anticipate.
Right, Commissioner Rojas, and for the rest of the Commission, I will share that when we were deciding on the budget request for City Council, staff did a lot of research that included those three sample proposals to determine what an appropriate budget request would be for a project of this size, a city of this size, and also take into account that this would be the first effort of its type in the city. Many other cities, you know, were doing a master plan, but they had done other similar types of projects before that that they could build on. Mm-hmm. So we took that into consideration. The three samples that we shared with the commission were in line with what our budget request is. As you mentioned, those are at least, I believe all of them are much bigger cities, so they did have proportionally bigger budgets, but we feel very confident that the budget that we have now will get us a robust project that has extensive community outreach and some great analysis.
If I may have one more last question on this.
Of course.
In reading those three proposals, actually there were reports, the three consultants worked with those cities, gathered a lot of data, interviewed a lot of people, and came up with quite a few recommendations, I think, that you and our city staff and our consultants would be wise to review and take advantage of. But the question really is, how does this group participate in the process, this commission?
Thank you. That's a great question. That is something that we have included in the RFP, that the consultant integrate the Parks and Recreation Commission as much as possible throughout the process, not just in inviting you to participate in the community outreach process, but in specifically at milestones throughout the project, coming before the commission with updates and to obtain your input and really have this body be involved in the project a great deal. So we have definitely taken that into account and specifically highlighted that in the RFP.
Commissioner Hart?
No, go ahead.
Commissioner West?
I wanted to talk a moment or hear what you would say about how the use of the building that houses, you know, the Community Action Commission admin offices and the Senior Nutrition Center, how are questions being presented, or how will you get information about, you know, the proposal that would be taken over as City of Goleta office space? And so is that going to be involved in this?
Madam Chair and Commissioner West, staff is already in a process right now with the Civic Center feasibility study, where we're conducting outreach with the Goleta Valley Community Center and all of the user groups there. We expect, since the same staff will be involved in this process working through the REC needs assessment, that we will continue our outreach in this project also with the REC needs assessment.
I did have one more question. Are any of the bidders, and this may be not something you can comment on given where we are any of the bidders local, and do they have a stake in the outcome?
Commissioner Hart and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, we do not at this point have any submitted proposals. We have phone calls with people that are interested. I really don't know off the top of my head how many of those are local. I will share that the last round of RFQ process, both firms that submitted proposals were not local, but had extensive experience in the area with other projects.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. We'll move on to D, future agenda items. Does anyone have any future agenda items they'd like to bring up? Commissioner West.
Yes. Last time I had asked if we could have a little report from somebody on water usage and what will be happening to our parks as the drought continues. Is there anybody who could just talk on that next time, maybe?
Madam Chair, please. And Commissioner West, we recently received a report to the council from the Goleta West, from the Goleta Water District, not owned by the City of Goleta, and I believe it was the general manager, Mr. John McGinnis, who conducted a presentation to the council. We can provide a copy of that at our perhaps next commission meeting, and also check internally for any additional updates staff can provide to you as it relates to the maintenance of the parks throughout the city. Happy to do that.
You said it was at a city council meeting?
It was at a city council meeting.
Would it be possible to email us the date? Because we could go online and actually
sure.
watch as well.
If absolutely.
If anyone wants to review that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Future agenda items? Staff, are there any future agenda items that you would like to share with us or anything else you'd like to share regarding upcoming meetings?
Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, at this point, as I mentioned, at your next meeting in May, we will plan to bring a recommendation for the recreation needs assessment. That report will include an update on the process, how many bidders we had, the interview process, and a more extensive report back on whatever firm we are planning to recommend to the commission. And we'll also plan to bring updates on other projects, such as Hollister Kellogg Park and others, which Mr. Adamaitis will cover in his director's report.
Okay, thank you.
Are we still on future items?
Sure.
Okay. I don't have this well developed, but I was wondering if there presently existed any private or quasi-government agency that does fundraising for the parks in the Goleta community. I know there's the Santa Barbara Parks Foundation, but do we have any such body?
We could certainly provide additional information, but we work with the Gersh Park Foundation, which is probably one of the more well-known ones in the city, which it's a privately owned park utilized by a large number of residents throughout the year, including the annual 4th of July event that's held there in conjunction with the Goleta Noontime Rotary. If you'd like us to prepare like a more in-depth report on that, or if my response to you was sufficient, happy to do it either way.
No, that's sufficient. My question was really kind of meandering around whether or not that's something that we might pursue at some point, is possibly trying to get the community to develop such a thing, maybe us spearheading a general parks as opposed to just Gersh, if Gersh is the only one.
I think it's a great point, and I also think that it could very likely unfold as part of the rec needs assessment. And how do we address those needs? Because one of the questions coming out of the report will be, well, we've identified all these needs. How will we address them? And what will be the fiscal impact or resources that will be needed to address those? And I think that's why this document is so important for the commission and for the community. And it's really, a significant effort since incorporation. It's really a milestone in the city's history where we really drill down deep into this issue. So it'll be an important process that we'll all be rolling up our sleeves on quite a bit, and looking forward to the beginning of that process, and certainly watching it unfold throughout the year and coming up with a final end product.
Okay, any other future items? Commissioner West.
Well, you know, when you touched upon the 4th of July, it would be wonderful if maybe one of you could just tell us what the city does at Gersh Park on 4th of July. So as your commissioners, if we're out and about and somebody asks specifically what happens in Goleta on the 4th of July, we could intelligently answer that. I'm not really sure what happens on 4th of July here.
So happy to respond, Madam Chair and Commissioner West. The event that's put on each year at Gersh Park is actually a fundraising event put on by the Goleta Noontime Rotary. It is not a city event. And so the donations and contributions from ticket sales are used to raise funds for the Goleta Noontime Rotary, which they later distribute throughout the community to various organizations that provide services and assistance in the city. So it's a very popular event, and have certainly seen it grow over the years. We do put out notification. The city's involvement has been to put out notification to the residents that have pets, to ensure that they keep those pets indoor who are around the park area as a precaution. And we look forward to another good event this year.
Commissioner Rojas.
I'm not sure if this is right on target, but did we talk at a previous meeting about a calendar that the city maintains for events? I'm thinking about at Stowe Park, there's an annual celebration or two and a concert series. And there are other, like the Lemon Festival, there's another event that comes to mind that we as commissioners could either assist the city staff in participating or staffing the event, at least become more aware and more active and engaged. So kind of dovetailing on our commission suggestion is, are there links that we can go to or maybe a site that we can go to see a calendar for the year?
Commissioners and Madam Chair and Commissioners and Commissioner Rojas, we'd be happy to provide a more detailed response to you. I know we have some links and information to our public information officer, Valerie Krushnov, who's also active in putting stuff on the city's website, the Facebook page, and also on Nextdoor for various events. So I don't know of one central calendar that we have. But it sounds like a great idea, and we'd be happy to look into that a little further for you.
Okay, I think we're done with future agenda items.
Now you have adjournment.
We have a director's
report. No director's report?
I'm sorry, director's report.
If you'd like me to adjourn, I have a few items on my to-do list today. Thank you, commissioners and Madam Chair. Staff is really pleased to be here today because I think we have some really positive updates for you and some forward progress on a number of things, in particular the rec needs assessment. But I did want to just share a few items from the director's report for you today, just as general information items. First off, tomorrow there's training, two sessions, one at 2 p.m., one at 6 p.m. Hope to see you all there at one or the other. It's important that you attend, and we think it'll be a valuable training event for you. Secondly, as I previously mentioned earlier today, staff is involved and is moving through the various phases of the Civic Center feasibility study in working with the Goleta Valley Community Center, meeting with the user groups, working with our consultant team, and I would expect at your next meeting, probably in May on the 28th at 6 p.m., we could have an item on the agenda there to provide you a future update from our project manager. And I know that we've had the community center come and present to you all of the things that they do there, which is very important. A large number of people work there and are involved in various activities. And we have had the opportunity to reach out as part of the outreach to all a number of the user groups. I won't say all of them, but we've really come away with a much greater understanding of all of the people who are there, the activities, and it's rather impressive. And so we look forward to providing an update to the full commission on where we're at in that process and look forward to that. As you may have heard in the media, this week began the beach hazards removal work with State Lands Commission on the beach as a result of the storms that we had in March, which was a fairly significant one. We saw quite a bit of debris on the beach, as well as exposed pilings and I-beams. And in the collaborative work with State Lands, with Ann Wells and the Coastal Commission, as well as city involvement. The council was very pleased to hear that that work has commenced. I believe it began on Monday. And I'm hoping to get out there before the end of this week to get a personal kind of view of what's going on and just share with you that if you've been out on the beach and you've seen these things, there is work underway now to help clean that up. And that's good news for everybody. And the last item is just a housekeeping item. If you have not yet completed your W-9 form for the city's finance department, please do so as soon as you can. We have additional forms here for you if you would like a personal handing of those to you, so you can fill that out and just get it in. It's just a housekeeping item, and I was asked to make sure that I mention this to you.
As soon as you can means by tomorrow, correct?
As soon as you can means
by tomorrow.
That's yes. And also the is it the W-9 the form 700, and I also need to remind you, I was just told, the annual filing of your form 700. If you haven't done so already, please make sure you fill that out. Our city clerk, Ms. Lopez, would greatly appreciate your assistance in getting those forms into her. It's a required annual filing, and if you need any help whatsoever in filling it out and completing it, please let us know. With that, staff is really just pleased to be here again with you and looking forward to all the work up ahead in this year, and we'll look forward to having our pre-agenda meeting with the chair and vice chair probably in April. And we'll be covering all those items and look forward to another great meeting in May.
Okay. Thank you.
A quick question. Just how long should we expect for the safety training to take tomorrow?
It should probably be somewhere between 1.5 to 2 hours. There is materials and a PowerPoint and so forth, but we will be working to get through that training fairly quickly.
The deputy said an hour when we came in. I don't know. Is there additional information?
I think we may be having lots of questions.
Yeah, we have a history and a reputation.
Okay. Got it.
If it's only an hour, I will stand corrected. But I'm accounting for questions and other things that might come up as part of these trainings that it usually does. So okay. I look forward to it tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Rojas, you have
yes, I read recently that I believe it's the consultant on the Old Town Kellogg Park maybe amended their contract, or the contract was amended. Can you bring us an update on what's going on there?
Be happy to. Madam Chair and Commissioner Rojas, the contract was for Susan Van Atta and Associates, and it involved an amendment to the contract to include additional work related to a pedestrian crossing on Kellogg for the access to the park, Hollister Kellogg Park, and that work was needed because one of the primary concerns that has been raised throughout the project, and I believe even from some of the tours that we've had, has been access, pedestrian access across that street where the trucks come up, and we have children going to that park. And so this work was part of that effort. It's moving forward.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
But more than wealth, I wish you love that you and I.